This is the Unconquered Podcast. Unbiased, unrivaled, and unconquered coverage and analysis of Florida State football.
At Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
We're back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing.
Guys getting more banged and we're working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
This is the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about the upcoming BCS National Championship game presented by Vizio, featuring Florida State and Auburn. So let's get started. For the first segment, we're going to focus on some initial observations from the film of the Auburn offense. Most people by now know that Auburn is certainly a run-based offense. You know, they may run the spread, they may be the hurry-up, no-huddle, but they are definitely a run-based offense. And approach, really, the way to think about them is that they are a triple option team, really. They just do it from a different formation. I mean, they're more like Georgia Tech, for example, than they are what Florida State runs. Whether, you know, something's in the spread or not really, you know, or whether somebody's lined up in the shotgun doesn't really affect in, things in terms of scheme. You know, they run a lot of things that as we'll talk a little bit later, that's, you know, based on single wing principles and especially on the veer option series that they borrowed from. But really, they're more like a lot of the old Nebraska teams that were so dominant in the running game. They establish balance. They keep defenses off balance, not so much by throwing the ball, but by basically running a dozen different running game schemes and running all sorts of option variations and power variations and some zone stuff. I mean, they run it all in terms of what they do to you up front and what they do in the running game. And so they have balance just naturally by the way that they run the football. So they're really, if you want to think about it, this is a lot like those Nebraska teams that Florida State played in the mid-90s that were really dominant running the football and could really put pressure on a team running the ball wide in particular. You know, Nebraska used the triple option, you know, usually out of the eye, where, you know, they would have that the dive back option up the middle, and then they'd put a lot of pressure on you with the quarterback and the pitch man running wide. And just like that, Auburn puts pressure on you in all three phases with the running quarterback, with you know, some speed guys outside, and then also with a very good interior running game. This again is a spread team, but they are a very, very physical team. This is, I think, the most physical team that Florida State will have played. Maybe Florida might be more physical, but they were so banged up by the time that Florida State played them, at least on the offensive side, that they were not quite as physical as this Auburn offense is. I think defensively, Florida is probably more physical than this Auburn team. But again, this is going to be a real challenge for the Florida State defense because, you know, Auburn is going to come out. They're a very confident team. They're going to come out very confident that they can push Florida State around and that they can get physical with Florida State. They're going to hit them in the mouth and they're going to try to wear Florida State down. That's what they do. They use tempo. They use a lot of power packages where they're getting double teams and things like that to wear on you and try to wear your defensive front down. Their left tackle, Greg Robinson, is one of the best in the country. He's only a sophomore, but he's 6'5", 320, and he's an absolute stud. He just jumps off the tape in run blocking. He just collapses teams down on that left side. So when they need short yardage and that sort of thing, that's typically where they go. They just they'll have him blocked down, and they'll often, you know, run a power play, that sort of thing, coming on his side with somebody pulling from the other side to lead through. But he just has mashed teams when he wants to, when he down blocks. Only a couple teams have really been able to match up with him out there. Mississippi State early in the year, they've got a big and very athletic and rangy defensive line that gave Auburn a little bit more trouble up front there. And LSU with their big defensive tackles, they were able to anchor as the game went along against some of that stuff. But outside of that, I mean, even in Alabama, you know, wasn't pushed around against Auburn really. They missed a couple assignments that led to some big plays. But aside from those three teams, you know, Auburn was really able to push teams around, and you could see Robinson in particular on that left side was able to push teams around. Trey Mason, the Heisman finalist, is a very, very patient runner. I mean, that's the thing that I think sticks out most about him on tape. He does a great job setting up his blocks. He's, you know, low center of gravity. But what he does is he's very patient. He waits on his blocks to set up, and then he's got a very good burst and that low center of gravity to squeeze through. He's good at making himself small and squeezing through creases and sort of bursting out the other side. Does a very good job on that at three different levels. I mean, he can do it outside, he can do it inside, and he can also do it off tackle. So he's a very patient runner. He's probably the best back that Florida State will have faced this year. Maybe Duke Johnson would be somebody that would be, you know, a comparable talent, but a very different kind of back. And I think ultimately Mason's a more difficult back for a team like Florida State to face, in particular against the inside run. You could also argue for Williams from Boston College, of course, as well. But you know, he's of that caliber, of that class, without a doubt. Scheme wise, I mean, we've talked about how they're a triple option team. Their approach is sort of similar to Nebraska in terms of how they're philosophically approaching things. But in terms of the actual schemes that they run, they're actually really, really similar to Clemson. They run a lot of the same packages. It makes a lot of sense because Gus Malzahn and Chad Morris go way back. Basically the stuff that the Chad is running at Clemson, most of that stuff came from Gus Malzahn, and you know, they've sort of geared their offenses towards the talent on the roster, which is why you see Clemson emphasizing the pass so much more, because you know they have Sammy Watkins and they have they have Bryant, and they before the injury they had Sherrone Peak, and last year they had DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, they've had some great receivers run through there, and they've got a very good passer in Taj Boyd. So you know, it makes no sense to just run it when you've got all those guys. But again, they use those guys as more than just wide receivers, and they run Boyd a good bit. What they do up front and the sort of approach that they take is very, very similar, though. Clemson runs more sophisticated stuff downfield, and Auburn runs more running packages. They've got more stuff installed at this point, but they're still based on the same stuff. I mean, they tend to run more power and man blocking type stuff. They run a lot of the speed sweep, jet sweep series, and they run a lot of stuff where you know you're going to have pulling linemen and all these things that you don't necessarily see with, say, an offensive scheme like what Florida State runs, again, which is focused on the inside zone and the outside zone, with the outside zone being Florida State's bread and butter play. That's about 80% of Florida State's running game, with just those two zone plays, and there's not a whole lot of variation. They just want to do it well, but you just don't get a whole lot in the way of variation in the Florida State running game, whereas you do in the Auburn running game. Bottom line, I think that if I were coming into this as Jeremy Pruitt, the first thing that I'd focus on is stopping the power play. They run a lot of power. That again is where you've got the linemen on the play side, where you're going to be running it. They down block the guys inside them, and it gives them leverage to really mash those guys and try to create a new line of scrimmage a yard or two downfield. Sometimes you'll see them get 3 or 4 or 5 yards downfield. I mean, they're just so physical. And they'll run that with they'll pull the guard, and then usually the H-back what's his name? Prosh is going to lead through the hole there. So basically what you've got is the need then, first thing, is for Jernigan and Goldman and some of the big interior guys for Florida State. They're going to have to hold up and not get mashed inside, and they're going to have to maintain the line of scrimmage against this Auburn attack, and particularly if Jernigan can get some penetration on that. I mean, a lot of times they'll run it right at that side. A lot of times it's run at the side where the one technique is, or the nose tackle is. And so basically you're going to have Jernigan needing to hold up and perhaps get some penetration there that can really change the game as far as they're concerned. And the same thing with Edwards being on the side that Greg Robinson, their left tackle, is on. That's going to be a major matchup. If Edwards at 285 can really hold up and hold that edge, against Robinson and, you know, prevent him from being able to mash inside, that sort of thing. That could be huge. Likewise, when he closes down on those pulling guards or you know, if he has to take on Jay Prosh, the H-back, and when they're pulling through and leading, again, what you want is that guy who's going to hold the edge, whether it's Edwards or sometimes it's going to be a safety or sometimes it's going to be a linebacker. You're going to want that person to hold the edge as close as possible. You don't want there to be much of a seam there. And if anything, I wouldn't be surprised to see Florida State use the wrong shoulder technique with the person who's holding the edge there at times where, you know, they're going to take the block on square or even sometimes with the wrong shoulder, with the outside shoulder, to try to force the ball to bounce. Because even though Auburn really does run the ball, most of their yardage on the year is, and they're one of three teams on the year that the majority of their rushing yardage actually has come from outside the tackles. They've had a lot of success running outside. Florida State will want to force them to run outside in this game. You're going to want to defend, you have to defend them inside out. And especially if you've got the speed in the back seven that Florida State does, that's what you want to do. So you've got to have Edwards and Jernigan and those guys do their job on the inside, and that's where Florida State's size really matters. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the podcast, but basically that's what you're going to have to do against it. Now, typically they pair that power play, which is a key play, and they run it both quarterback power and running back power. Actually, I think at times they're more effective in the middle of the field with Marshall running it as a quarterback because of his speed. But they tend to run, that's their go-to play, anything, you know, when it's second and third and four or less, three or less in particular, they're going to run power, especially on the goal line. They run power, and they run it a lot, and they run that to Trey Mason, who's tough to get to his legs, it's tough to tackle him. It's very difficult to hold them to less than 3 or 4 yards on that play. That's where, again, the defensive line has to maintain the line of scrimmage if Florida State's going to have success there. And if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I spend a lot of time on making sure that guys maintain their gap discipline on this and on its counters. Because, again, what they'll do is they'll pair that power play with the speed sweep action where guys coming in jet motion to put pressure on the edge and try to move the linebackers, getting the linebackers looking in the backfield and following that motion a little bit. And then the power is going to go the opposite way. And with somebody like Marshall on the quarterback power, if the linebacker is just slightly out of the gap, which is exactly what happened on Marshall's long run against Alabama, then all of a sudden you have Marshall off to the races. So it's very critical that they maintain that the Florida State secondary and Florida State back seven maintain eye discipline. They're going to have to. What you have to do with Auburn is you have to watch the offensive line. You watch who's pulling where. You watch where they're going, where they're stepping, and you maintain your gap discipline within the defense based on that, rather than getting caught looking in the backfield where, you know, Malzahn has all sorts of window dressing and misdirection and, you know, ball handling that's going on in the backfield. You've got to basically watch your key. You know what your gap is going to be if they step in this direction or if they step in this direction or if this guy pulls, and you've got to trust the defense and you've got to trust that the person who's responsible for the motion or for the handoff or the pitch or whatever action you might see in the backfield, that person's going to do his job. This is where, you know, it's assignment football, very similar to what you would have against the option. Now, you can't just say, okay, that's your guy, because what will happen is Malzahn will adjust the blocking schemes and that sort of thing to change and take advantage of, you know, one guy being assigned to one thing and another being assigned to another, and he'll start playing with your assignments. What you've really got to do is, again, just be gap disciplined and really ignore a lot of that window dressing in the backfield. Now, they do have some misdirection to counter those tendencies that they have. And again, that's where the perimeter guys have to be very disciplined and stay at home. Even if you see a guy go in the opposite direction, you've got to stay at home, because a lot of times they're going to have somebody else coming back on a reverse, on an end around, that sort of thing. Now, like I said, most of their yardage comes from outside on those edge runs, but Florida State's still going to want to defend inside out. They've got, you know, Florida State's linebackers and secondary are very fast, and maybe more importantly, they're very long. Guys like Telvin Smith, you know, they've got very long arms. Jalen Ramsey, very long arms. Same thing with a shorter guy like LaMarcus Joyner, who has insanely long arms for his height. those arms allow them to minimize the amount of space in the open field, and that's where Florida State, by playing it inside out and forcing them to the outside, can use the speed and length of the defense to some advantage. And that's really where Florida State's defense is very different from Alabama's. I expect Florida State to run a lot of the same stuff that Alabama did scheme wise against Auburn, but Alabama's not nearly as fast on the edge or in the back seven as Florida State, and it's easier to get to the edge against them than it is against the Florida State roster that where you're running trying to run away from Telvin and Terrence Smith and from Christian Jones on the edge, and you know you've got Ramsey and Brooks and Joyner and these guys that it's very difficult to run away from some of those guys and get to the edge more so than what you have against Alabama, which is that's more of a size-based defense. At any rate, they also have run more zone read since midseason, although they don't always read their plays, even though at times it looks like a read. In many cases, a number of their plays are actually set plays where Marshall has already, at the pre-snap, he already knows whether he's handing it off or whether he's going to keep it or whatever. So they call a number of set plays there that look like read plays, but aren't. Now, Marshall is by far the best runner at quarterback that Florida State has played against. This is where John Franklin's scout team efforts are absolutely huge, because he's one of the few guys in the country that has more or less the same skill set that Marshall does. I mean, he runs a 4-4 range, has a big arm, has the ability to do a lot of what Marshall does. Obviously, not at the same proficiency because he hasn't been running it all year, but he can definitely give the defense a good look, which is really crucial here. Now, Florida State, I expect will play a bunch of single high man free. We'll talk a little bit more about that in two more segments, but basically, I do think that Florida State will match up quite well on defense with what Auburn wants to do, largely because they're so big inside, while still being able to have the speed to prevent Auburn from just running away on the outside. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we're going to have a few observations on Auburn's defense. As far as Auburn's defense is concerned, they run a 4-2-5 base alignment personnel package, very similar to what Florida State's been running most of the year, especially in the second half of the year since Florida State really made their schematic changes after the Boston College game and went to that 4-2-5, 3-3-5 sort of hybrid alignment. Auburn runs more of a true 4-2-5 with four true defensive linemen, and a little bit less hybrid there, but otherwise very similar to what Florida State's been running. You know, the five defensive back package. The nice thing about that, if you're a defensive coordinator, is you can do a lot of mirroring, and you don't necessarily have to tip your hand early on. As far as what your coverage is going to be, it's a little harder for the quarterback to assess the coverage oftentimes in the pre-snap than it would be against a four-man secondary, because again, you can mirror, you can do some things on each side of the field that you might not be able to do if you only have four guys back there. Now, their defensive line is very good. It's the strength of their defense. It's probably in the top three that Florida State has faced this year. It's not as good, I don't think, as Florida's, at least in the starting group. I think Florida's probably got the best group Florida State faced. I think it's probably about on the level with the Clemson defensive line, maybe a little more physical than the Clemson defensive line, although the Clemson defensive line's a little bit bigger overall. The one thing they do have that really, by the time Florida State played them, Florida didn't, and Clemson didn't either, is that they are extremely deep up front. They'll play as many as 11 guys on their defensive line, so they don't wear down easily. Typically, they're pretty fresh going into the end of the game. In the fourth quarter, they're fresher than their opponents by and large, and you can really see their defense stiffen in the second half. I think that's something that does stick out a little bit. I think that they do get better as the game goes along because they don't wear down very much up front. They're able to two gap. They've got some size with their defensive tackles. They're not quite as big as what Florida State's got there, but they do have some size with the defensive tackles. And they are able to two gap, and they do some two gapping as well with the defensive tackles, where the tackles will take a head up position, and they'll have the gap on either side of an offensive lineman to try to take away. To try to minimize how many players they have to keep in the box. That said, I don't expect them to be able to do that with much success against Florida State's interior offensive line. If they do that, if they try it, I really expect to see Jimbo Fisher and the Florida State offense he's going to have Winston check to run plays when they see that, because I think that when you're trying to two gap against Josue Matias and Trey Jackson and Brian Stork, those are some big and very physical interior offensive linemen that Florida State has. It's very difficult to two gap against guys with that kind of size, especially when Auburn's going to try to two gap them with guys that are more in the 290 range, and they're going to be outweighed by 30 pounds, and that's something that that I expect. If they do, I think we'll see some run checks from the Florida State offense to take advantage of that. That said, also, they have had some trouble stopping the run on standard downs all year. To counter this, in the second half of the season, since midseason, they've played a lot more man coverage in the secondary to commit one extra player to stopping the run. That has had some impact on their ability to cover the pass as well. And that's, you know, not really advantageous for them in the first place, because their weakness is really in the secondary and in their coverage at the linebacker level as well. Their back seven does not cover especially well. They've been more successful since they've gone to more man stuff because they've been better at stopping the run, but they've had some serious problems that show throughout the tape in terms of pass coverage in the back seven. One thing that sticks out right away is their cornerback Jonathan Mincy has been picked on, especially with double moves. Teams have double moved him to death. He got beat on two different ones, one for a 54-yarder and one for a 99-yarder against Alabama. He got beat for one against he got beat on one by, against LSU. He got beat on another one by Missouri. You know, they've had some trouble against double moves in the secondary. I expect to see Florida State try to take advantage of that fairly early. The linebackers also bite badly on play action, in part because they've had some trouble stopping the run again, but they also lack fluidity in coverage. They actually look like they've gotten a little bit over heavy. A couple of their linebackers are a little bit bigger than what Florida State's used to seeing, and against the run, that actually might be an advantage. They're definitely big, physical guys. You know, I think that in particular, 17 and 9 are very physical players, but they have some. They have some problems when you play action them, or when they're asked to cover downfield. Every time number five Jake Holland is on the field, Florida State needs to go at him in the passing game. He's just vulnerable. He doesn't move very well downfield, and he's especially vulnerable on tight end type option routes and that sort of thing. And Florida State will do what they can, I'm sure, whenever he's on the field, to get O'Leary manned up on him or put in position where he's going to be in his zone, because O'Leary really could have a field day against him. Now, that said, Auburn has done a lot of subbing for him in passing situations in the second half of the year. They brought on another linebacker, 17, who his name is escaping me at the moment, but who has been better in coverage. He's a little bit more fluid. He's still not as fluid as what Florida State has seen from some of the linebackers, both in the ACC and certainly in practice. But they're also very vulnerable. They showed some vulnerabilities to over and crossing routes from the slot receiver. They struggled against the bootlegs. The bootleg series that teams threw at them, linebackers would bite, and then the safeties and so on really struggled to stay with the slots and over routes in play action, where basically you've got a guy who's crossing the field, and as soon as he gets past the center line and is getting onto the other side of the field, that's why it's called an over route. as soon as you get guys over in that range, they're running free, and Auburn has had trouble covering that all year. Now, of course, you have to have pass protection to be able to do that well. That's where the boot stuff comes out, and I expect to see early in the game Florida State run some boot stuff, some boot action, in particular moving left, because Winston throws that better than most. But to get, in particular, Kenny Shaw the ball on that sort of over or crossing route, which Auburn has struggled with all year. Finally, their safeties really lack range and speed, and they've given up a lot of big plays even when they've initially been in position. They've taken some bad angles, and they've given up some seriously big plays, again, in part because they're playing some man-free and the safety just doesn't have good enough range, good enough speed, good enough angles to be able to help his corners over the top. And so they've given up some plays over the top, in particular against big receivers all season. I mean, they got gashed by Dorial Green-Beckham. Mike Evans had about 250 receiving yards on him for Texas A&M. Dante Moncrief from Ole Miss had 222 yards and a couple touchdowns on him. They've struggled with some big receivers all season. They've only got one starting defensive back who's above 6 foot, and that's another factor there. That said, they are excellent on passing downs. They're number 9 in the S&P Plus on passing downs. Again, this is mainly due to their defensive line. Their pass rush is absolutely outstanding. It's one of the best in the country. It may well be the best pass rush in the country on third down and on passing downs, on long yardage downs. And Dee Ford, he's the more experienced guy. He's very similar to Vic Beasley from Clemson. He's not quite as long and rangy, but is a little bit more explosive. He's the kind of guy that gets under an offensive tackle, on the edge, and is able to sort of get underneath him and turn the corner really quickly. Sort of reminiscent of Dwight Freeney, if you will. But he's, it's size wise, he's not that big. That's why I compare him to Beasley. He's maybe 235, 240. But boy, is he explosive off the edge. He's normally going to come off the right side, but they move him around a little bit. The tackles are going to have their hands full. The other guy, their other primary pass rusher, is freshman Carl Lawson, who is a freak. He's going to be a first-round pick, I'm sure, in the future if he stays healthy. He's very, very explosive around the edge, and Florida State's tackles are going to have their hands full with these guys. That said, Florida State's tackles have handled very, very good speed rushers, edge rushers all year. Beasley was completely stonewalled by Irving and Hart when they played Clemson, and so this is a place where it's strength on strength, really. But their secondary is much better, again, as you can see on passing downs, when they're able to benefit from the defensive line pinning its ears back, and when they're able to play a softer zone look, and when they're able to keep things in front of them rather than pressuring a little bit. They do break on the ball quickly, and their star position, Robinson Therese, he can make some plays. He's got some ability as a playmaker in coverage in some of those situations. So, the Florida State will want to know where he's at. That said, again, Florida State should match up quite well against them. I don't think that there's really a whole lot to be afraid of in terms of Auburn's defense. It's just a matter of matching their physicality and making sure that the offensive line handles the defensive line acceptably well to give Winston some time and provide some room in the running game. All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to segment 3, where we're going to talk about our expectations from Florida State in this game, starting with the defense. Okay, in terms of expectations of how Florida State is going to approach this and sort of what to expect in terms of the game itself, starting with the defense, I think Florida State's going to play a lot of single high man free coverage. It's something that other defenses that Auburn has played so far this year could not really do against Auburn. It was a really down year in the SEC for cornerbacks. Auburn didn't face teams with elite corners this year. I mean, Alabama had difficulties at corner this year. I mean, they had a major drop off the last 2 years in their cornerback play. LSU did not have the corners that they've had traditionally. They've just not played a team that could really single cover them with a whole lot of comfort. And Sammy Coates, their big play receiver, is a guy that can typically run right by guys, right by cornerbacks, and so teams have given them some respect in terms of their deep passing game, because Marshall throws it very well downfield. He throws a good deep ball. It took him a little bit early in the season. He overthrew some, but once he caught on a little bit later in the year, he was very good throwing the deep ball. And teams honored that. Now, Florida State, I think, will basically say, listen, if you can beat us repeatedly on the deep ball, if you can beat our strength and our corners, then, you know, congratulations. But I don't think that Florida State's going to is going to spend a lot of time honoring Auburn pass. I think they're going to cover tight. They're going to cover, do a lot of man free, a lot of single high, one safety looks, middle of the field close stuff. To force Auburn to throw the ball. They're going to want him to try to beat those corners deep. They're going to basically say, listen, if you can run by Darby or you can run by Williams or Joyner, and you know you can run by Ramsey and Brooks as well, you know, it's a safety help, then congratulations. Now that changes a lot in terms of what you can do defending the Auburn perimeter run. It also takes away one of the things that Auburn really likes to do. One of the things that they do three or four times a game is they'll present an option look or a quarterback run look with a wide receiver who, instead of blocking, what'll happen is he'll leak up field up the sideline for a quick throw over the head of the cornerback. If the cornerback comes up to defend against Marshall, that actually scored a touchdown late against Auburn. I mean, against Alabama, and really turned that game around in the fourth quarter. But that was not the only time they did it. They did it to LSU. They did it to several other teams, and it's something that they'll try a few different times. Against man coverage, it really doesn't work very much because the corner is just staying with the receiver, and Florida State's corners are going to have to stay home against that. More man will help them do that. But the other thing that it does is it basically gives Florida State an extra man against the run, especially on the perimeter. It allows you to use that opposite safety who's not going to be in the middle of the field, playing center field. It gives you that other safety to run the alley against the perimeter run, and that's something that Terrence Brooks has been amazing doing all year. He's been terrific in the open field and running that alley, and actually Jalen Ramsey's gotten quite good at it at the end of the year here. Both guys are very adept at doing that, and Florida State is sure to do a lot of that with the single high look. I expect to see Florida State blitz a good bit on first down as well, particularly field blitzes, you know, with the cornerback, with the nickel cornerback when they're in nickel with Joyner, you know, using some pressure off the edge from the field, basically trying to force Auburn to run it to the boundary. And that's something that Florida State's going to want to do here. It's what Alabama does a lot of. They run a lot of field pressure against Auburn. And you know they've done it every time that they've played against Malzahn. But basically, you want Auburn to have to run to the boundary where they can't get on the edge so easily. And the other thing is that by blitzing on first down, say you're forcing Auburn, you're also presenting the possibility of getting some penetration and maybe getting a tackle for a loss and that sort of thing. And Auburn's a very different team in second and 10 and, you know, second and 8 than they are in second and 3. And so I think Florida State's going to gamble just a little bit on first down with some blitzes, particularly off the edge, and telling their guys to get a little more penetration on first down to try to get Auburn off the field. And then, you know, basically once you get in short yardage, they're going to try to take a little bit safer approach, a little bit different, and just try to handle things, you know, with more two gapping and that sort of thing from the interior. But I do think we'll see some blitzing to try to get some big plays on defense, and try to get Auburn off the field rather than just simply letting them go 4 yards, 5 yards, you know, 5 yards, and basically march down the field with the long drives that they're able to do because they're so committed to the run. Now, again, Jernigan, Edwards, and Goldman are key. Florida State, I do expect to line up in some jumbo defensive line sets where they'll have those three and then one of the other 300-pounders, your Niall Lawrence-Stample or your Jacoby McDaniel. McAllister should be healthy for this game. Florida State has six quality 300-pounders that it can rotate on the interior. And I think they'll make use of all six of them. Again, Auburn is going to try to wear you down and wear you out with the hurry up, no huddle. And I think Florida State's going to basically go into use their big defensive line and go into some jumbo defensive line sets when Auburn's personnel allows, and basically beg Auburn to try to mash them and say, you know what, we're going to close down the interior. We're going to clog the interior with these massive bodies, and we're going to force you to outrun, Telvin Smith and Terrence Smith to the outside, and you know, LaMarcus Joyner and these guys to the outside. I think if Jernigan and Goldman and Edwards can keep Florida State's linebackers clean and limit the inside running lanes, Florida State's going to be in very good shape in this game. Auburn's going to test Florida State on the interior early in this game. They're going to try to bully Florida State's lighter linebackers. You know, Florida State's linebackers are not the size of Alabama's linebackers or a lot of the linebackers that they've seen in the SEC. And they're going to want to test to see whether these guys are willing to take on blocks and whether they're able to basically just take that interior run. And as with any option team, if they can take the interior run, they will take it. You have to stop the inside stuff first. So you've got to defend Auburn inside out. But as long as you don't get whipped on the inside, as long as Florida State doesn't get whipped on the inside, and I see no reason with, you know, Jernigan, Edwards, and Goldman, and McDaniel, and McAllister, and Lawrence Stample, and the rest, I see no reason to expect them to get whipped on the inside. I do think that Florida State's speed and length on the perimeter is really ideally oriented to limiting what Auburn likes to do on the outside. And by playing the more man, Florida State's going to be able to commit even more speed and an extra body to doing some of that perimeter run support. So I do think that Auburn is going to have some success, especially early in the running game. There's no stopping them entirely. Just like the old Nebraska teams, you're not going to stop them entirely all game because they are so stubborn and so committed to the running game, and you just can't stop it indefinitely. They're going to get somebody out of a gap. They're going to break a tackle here or there. It's going to happen. But I don't think they'll run all over FSU either. Based on a combination of the numbers and what I've seen on tape, I expect Auburn to average somewhere between 4.25 and 4.75 yards per play. That's my estimate in this game. With a normal paced game around 75 plays or so, that puts them around 315 to 350 yards total offense. And ultimately, I think absent a rash of turnovers or, you know, some major special teams plays, and we'll talk about Auburn's special teams. They're terrific on special teams. Absent, you know, some of that stuff, I think Auburn's going to score around 20 points in this. And I think that their cap in terms of what they're going to be able to score on Florida State's defense in this game is somewhere around 28 or 30. My guess is that they would have some trouble scoring over 28. So I think really Florida State's magic number on offense is going to be 30, 31 points. You get to that point on offense. If Florida State gets there, I think they win the game. So I think that, again, this is a matchup that on paper, Florida State really should win. And when you start looking at the tape, Florida State should really win the matchup against Auburn's offense overall. You're just not going to shut them down entirely. But I do think Auburn will, you know, they may score around 20 points, but I don't think that will be easy for them. They're not going to run all over this defense. So we're going to go ahead and take another quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about expectations for the FSU offense.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Practice, man. I mean, how silly is that?
Okay, back to talking about the game. In terms of Florida State's offense in this game, this is... To be totally honest, it's a bad matchup for Auburn. It just really is. I mean, this is a Florida State team that is averaging just the numbers that Florida State's putting up. It's averaging an insane 4.25 points per drive. That is, I mean, nobody else in the country is within 0.6 of that. The next highest in the country is Ohio State with 3.59 and Oregon with 3.47. If you want to look at Auburn's number, Auburn, you know, they've played some decent defenses, yes, but they're only averaging 2.94 points per drive. And really, you can see the edge that Florida State should have in that particular matchup. I don't see Auburn limiting Florida State all that much. Florida State does everything Auburn struggles with and does it well. Nick O'Leary and Kenny Shaw should be just licking their chops for the opportunity to face Auburn's interior pass coverage. I expect it, like I said, to see Florida State doing what they can to isolate those guys over the middle. I do think that Auburn on defense is going to take a very similar approach to what Miami used, play soft in the secondary and try to force everything in front of them. So instead of playing as much man as they did later in the year, I think even when they're in man, they're going to play soft and they're going to try to force Winston to be patient and throw short and intermediate. And they're going to try to force Jimbo Fisher and also Winston in terms of pre-snap checks and that sort of thing and package plays to be patient and run the ball on them. I think that they're going to try to force Florida State away and, you know, prevent big plays. They know that Florida State's going to get their yards. I think they're going to basically do their best to prevent big plays, keep things in front of them, and, you know, try to, you know, maybe force a turnover, but with Winston being impatient here or there, and then be satisfied with rolling the dice once they get to the red zone, where their defense has been much better than it has between the 20s. So, you know, basically they're going to try to force some field goals in the red zone, maybe, you know, get a turnover or two and just keep hanging in there on defense and give their offense a chance. I think that's what Auburn's going to do. But I think Florida State's going to try to take advantage of their tendency to bite on double moves. Even if you are playing soft coverage, sometimes if you're a player who tends to bite, you're still going to bite, even if you're in soft coverage. And I think Florida State's going to try to take advantage of that tendency early in the game, in particular maybe to Benjamin on the outside, where he's got some size and the ability to go up and get the ball at its high point there. You know, even where Auburn is very good on defense and passing downs, where they're ninth in the country, Florida State's offense is better. It's number one in the country on passing downs. And so this is, again, this is just not a good matchup for Auburn. I think there's no reason to expect Florida State to have any worse performance offensively than what Alabama did, which Alabama averaged around seven and a half, 7.7 yards per play against Auburn. I expect Florida State to average somewhere between 7.5 and 8.5 yards per play, which in a normal tempo game would put them over 500 yards. And I think that puts them scoring somewhere between 38 and 54, depending on how efficient they are in the red zone. So I really think that this is a game where Florida State's offense should go off. It's just going to take being very patient and being sharp, and you know, not overthrowing into the soft coverage and being willing to take the running game and take the 5 yard chunks where you can get them, and be willing to just take your time and go down the field and be efficient in the red zone. But I think that's going to be the approach, and those should basically be the expectations for the Florida State offense in this. I think Auburn will have a difficult time holding them under 38 points in this game. And I think that, you know, if Auburn's going to be successful, they're going to need some turnovers and Florida State to have some inefficiency in the red zone in order to do that. All right, we're going to come back in just a moment with the keys to the game and our prediction, my prediction, for the national championship game presented by Vizio.
Welcome to the real world.
Okay, looking at the keys to the game, first thing I want to highlight is special teams. And this is Auburn's one advantage in this game. It's on special teams, where Auburn is fifth in special teams F+. It's a Football Outsiders rating. It's a good metric for measuring special teams. And that's compared to Florida State being 51st in special teams F+, which, you know, what that's basically looking at is net punting, punt returns, kickoff returns and you know, kickoff average, you know, average starting field position off of kickoffs in both directions. And Auburn is one of the best teams in the country there. You know, they are fifth in special teams F+. They've had success blocking punts. They've got good returners in every phase of the game. They've got an outstanding place kicker. They're second in the nation in touchback percentage. Over 75% of his kicks have been touchbacks, which really mitigates the one place where Florida State is outstanding on special teams, outside of obviously Roberto Aguayo. Florida State's kick return game is very, very good with Kermit and and Carlos back there. But given that the way that Auburn has been able to kick touchbacks, that really will minimize the impact that Florida State's kick return game can have there. Florida State's not had the same percentage of touchbacks, in part because they've asked Aguayo to kick it for height and to try to pin teams deep a little bit. But given that that Auburn's kick returners are very good, I if I were FSU, I would think about having a YO kick for touchbacks in this one, because again, I think that Florida State's defensive chances of stopping Auburn's offenses are actually better than the odds of potentially giving up a big play in special teams, which could be more devastating. So I would actually potentially just have a YO kick for touchbacks in this particular game. But Auburn, the biggest advantage they have is in the punting game. They've got a good punter in Stephen Clark. They have a 40.2 yard net punting average. That's 10th in the nation. Florida State, by comparison, is a full 6 yards less in net punting average. You exchange a couple punts, and very quickly field position changes there. That's, by the way, for Florida State, that's 114th in the country. It's the one weakness on this team for Florida State, which so far, you know, their solution to that has been to average 4.25 points per drive, where, you know, that really minimizes the need that you have to punt when you're or the weakness of your punting when you never have to punt. But given that they have a very good punter, and they also have a punt returner in Chris Davis, who everybody of course knows because of his field goal return against Alabama, he's 23rd in the country in terms of overall, you know, notwithstanding looking at overall returners. He hasn't had enough to rank. When you include everybody, people who've had one return or whatever, the bigger thing is that he averages 20.1 yards per return. And that's significant. That's a very, very good return, man. That would qualify him for somewhere around 12th, I think, if he had enough, if he had more returns. But Florida State, I think, is going to want to punt away from him if possible, directionally punt as much as possible. You compare his return average to Kenny Shaw's 9.7 yards per return, and the fact that Shaw actually fair catches it almost every time, so it doesn't really matter. That's a place where Auburn can really pick up some yards, is in the punting game. So if there's punts exchanged, Auburn's going to get the benefit, going to get some benefit out of that. Both place kickers are excellent. Like I said, I would, if it comes down to a field goal match, you know, it's going to go deep into shootouts, you know, this sort of thing. So, bottom line is, in terms of special teams, Florida State just needs to avoid the catastrophic play. Don't give up a blocked punt. Don't give up a return for a touchdown. A draw in special teams is a win for Florida State because they have the edge in terms of offense and defense. The next major key to the game, as far as I'm concerned, is red zone efficiency. Now, Auburn's defense, like I alluded to earlier, is actually very good in red zone defense. They're 9th in the country in red zone defense versus AQ opponents. They're only giving up a score about 66% of the time, which is very good. Now, some of that is actually because apparently they've faced more teams that don't have good kicking games, but you know, there's still, even in terms of touchdown percentage allowed, which is really the most significant statistic in terms of red zone efficiency, they're 23rd, which is very respectable. They only allow 53%, which is around what Florida State allows. That's thrown off a little bit by FSU. FSU's red zone scores have been given up by their second and third units, but either way, it's 23rd is very respectable. Their defense very clearly stiffens when they don't have to worry about getting beaten deep. And their defensive line, which is terrific, shines in the red zone. That's where they can lock in and really benefit from the strength of their defense. One thing I have seen on tape that they don't do well is defend the back of the end zone in the middle of the field. Again, this goes back to their linebackers. They like a lot of teams, they tend to sort of sit those guys down about three yards into the end zone. And a good quarterback and a guy who can catch the ball up high, you've got the edge if you run that guy to the back of the end zone over the middle. I think that's definitely a vulnerability in the red zone, and that's something that if I were Fisher, I would definitely try to probe early on in the game. So try to take advantage of that down inside the 20. I do think that this matchup, even there though, still tilts into Florida State's favor. Because where Auburn is 9th in the country in red zone defense versus AQ opponents, Florida State's offense is first in red zone efficiency, scoring 100% of the time, 50 out of 50 versus AQ opponents. Thank you, Aguayo consistency. And including an 80%. That's just an absurd number. An 80% touchdown clip in the red zone against AQ opposition. So something's got to give here. And this is something that early on, again, Auburn has all year, they've sort of depended on their ability to get stops in the red zone, even when they've given up yardage. And I think that that's going to be the approach that they're going to take in this game. They're going to want to roll the dice in the end zone and hope that their defense can pick up a couple stops. Much of the game could hinge on whether Florida State scores touchdowns or is limited to field goals early in the game in the red zone. And if Florida State stays efficient like they have been, that will put an awful lot of pressure on Auburn, since, you know, the Tigers are going to have to work to score on the Florida State defense. So that red zone bit, whatever gives in the red zone is going to go a long way to determining whether this game is close going into the fourth quarter, whether Florida State puts so much pressure on Auburn early on that they're able to sort of break them and run away with it. The other factor, this is a third factor. I think Florida State's going to have to they're going to really make sure that they have to tackle well in space. And that's something that after a 1 month layoff, one thing that you often see lacking in bowl games is tackling, especially in the open field. And Florida State's going to need to tackle well in space against Auburn if they're going to want to win the game. Auburn really tests you on that, particularly on those perimeter runs. You've got to be very consistent. You've got to be very disciplined in terms of where you are, the kind of angles that you take, and making sure that you wrap effectively in the open field. And Florida State's going to have to do that. And it's tough to do that when you don't tackle to the ground as much in bowl preparation. So that's something that, you know, is something to look at early on. Fourth, I think standard down performance. So is which team wins first down? Question is, can Florida State, the defense, limit Auburn to 4 yards or less on first down? Can Florida State defend inside out? Can they control the defense, control the interior of the line enough to play inside out and protect their linebackers from getting mashed with some success and force Auburn into some of their constraints? Or is Auburn going to be able to consistently get 4 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards on first down? You know, are they going to be able to get into the leverage situations where they're able to continue to run the ball the way that they want? That is absolutely key. And Florida State's first down defense is something to watch right away in the game. See whether Florida State is winning on the interior with those guys and limiting what Auburn is able to do in terms of their base stuff, their power, their speed sweep, and those sorts of things on first down. Can Florida State limit Auburn to 4 yards or less on first down, and can they do that consistently? Because if you can keep Auburn out of third and short, then you're winning that matchup. They want as an offense to continue to run it and get into third and short so that they can keep running it to the place where eventually you're going to get a guy out of a gap, and then they're going to hit the seam with somebody that can really fly. If you're able to limit them to 3 yards on first down, 4 yards on first down, and then maybe, you know, win another battle on second down, and you can get them into third and six or third and seven, they're not built for those. They're still going to run the ball, but you're going to have the capacity as a defense to really commit at that point to stopping what they do. And you can give up a 6 yard run and still potentially get yourself off the field, depending on whether they choose to go for it or not. But again, this is something that Florida State's going to have to do on defense. Can you win standard downs on defense? Likewise, flip side, Florida State's offense needs to stay efficient enough on first downs to avoid those long yardage situations where Auburn's defense can really use its pass rush and be that much better, you know, playing soft and using the pass rush. And that's where Winston's going to have to be sharp and patient enough after the layoff to take what Auburn is going to give him in the intermediate areas. And he's going to have to be willing to check to the run when the numbers are there. And that's going to be something, again, make sure Florida State's going to have to be very, very good at that. I've heard some very good things already coming out of bowl preparation practices. Yesterday I was told that they'd had an extremely sharp practice offensively. So, you know, this is the sort of thing that again, if you can win first down, if you're Florida State, and continue to keep the pressure on the Auburn defense, they've struggled on standard downs all year. Finally, I think that at the end of the day, it's it almost goes without saying, but big plays and turnovers are really, really critical here. I honestly don't think Auburn wins this game unless they're plus three in the turnover special teams ratio. So that means either they're plus three in turnovers, or they're, you know, plus two in turnovers with a blocked kick or huge return added to that or whatever. They're going to need to be plus three in that factor, in that particular category, in order to win this game. And that's where Florida State, again, just has to be efficient, protect the ball, and play their game. And if they do that, I think ultimately Florida State, absent a rash of turnovers, absent, you know, giving up some huge plays in special teams, you know, uncharacteristic stuff like that, ultimately I do think that Florida State's better balance as a team and really superior talent wins out in this game. At the end of the day, I've got Florida State winning 45-20 in this game. I think that there's the most likely score range is anywhere between, say, 38-28. That's with Florida State being held to sort of the bottom end of what they might score, and Auburn scoring the most, and 54-14, where you've got sort of the other end of those things. And again, that's presuming Florida State's not minus three or, you know, turning it over all the time, or, you know, giving up those sorts of things, playing uncharacteristically. If the game goes characteristically, I think that that's your likely score range, and it really just depends on turnovers and red zone efficiency where you end up in that sort of zone. But I'm going with Florida State 45-20 in this one. I just think that ultimately this is a really bad matchup for Auburn, and it is one of the best college football teams I've ever seen, and I think there's going to be a lot of debate after this season whether this Florida State team is potentially the best team or the most dominant team in the modern era after this national title game performance. I think, you know, really this matchup is actually, you know, very similar again to the Clemson game, where Florida State is built to stop what Auburn does, and it's a bad matchup for Auburn defensively. So again, I think that we're going to see a lot of those debates after the season, after the title game, on exactly how dominant Florida State has been over the course of this year. All right, that's all we've got for today. On behalf of the entire Noll Digest staff, I'm Jason Staples. Thanks for listening. I made this.